car there. He put him in. The guy had a suitcase. He brought it on in. The man sat with him a little while there and started going down the road. G chord. And all of a sudden, back in the hills of Southwest Virginia, a super highway was unheard of, praise God, and still is, amen. Highway stop at Roanoke, glory to God. They hit some big ruts down through there, and the guy that was in the car, he said, hold on, sir. He said, I'm going to help you out. And he took that suitcase, and he laid it up on his lap, praise God. And he said, that'll take some pressure off the car. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the only way to take the pressure out was to throw the suitcase out. Glory to God. Down home, they have a place called a laying down place. It's a place when you come to it, you need to lay anything down. You have a place to lay it down. And right here in this place tonight, there's a laying down place. Just a few feet from me. Praise God. You come tonight and you're seeking the will of God. You've come to the right place. There's a laying down place right here. Come tonight with a burden of sin on your heart. There's a laying down place right here. Lord of God. Do you need joy? Come on. Do you need joy? There's a laying down place right here. Lord of God. Well, I'm feeling so much better since I laid my heavy burdens down. Well, I'm feeling so much better since I laid my heavy burdens down. Glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, since I laid my heavy burdens down. Well, glory, glory. I lay my burdens down. Yes, I'm feeling just like sin since I lay my burdens down. Yes, I'm feeling just like sin since I lay my burdens down. Well, glory, glory. Well, hallelujah. So much better since you laid your burden down. Are you feeling so much better since you laid your heavy burden down? Since I laid my heavy burdens down. Well, I'm feeling,
yes, I'm feeling
just like running,
just like running.
Since I laid my heavy burdens down. Since I laid my heavy burdens down. Well, I'm feeling,
yes, I'm feeling
just like shouting,
just like shouting.
Since I laid my heavy burdens down.
Glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, since I laid
my burdens down.
Glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah.
Since I laid
I heard it well, I'm feeling just like running,
just like running
since I laid.
I'm feeling just like running since I laid my burden down.
since I lay my burden down. Well, glory, glory, oh hallelujah.
My God, you might as well have church.
My burden down.
Don't you feel like singing? Feel like singing? Since you laid your heavy burdens down, just like singing. Since I laid my burden down, well, glory, glory, oh hallelujah! Since I laid my burdens down, well, glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah! Since I lay, woo! I lift your hands and praise him tonight. I feel like shouting. Feel like shouting. My heavy burdens now. I feel like shouting. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Since I lay
my burden down.
Oh, glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Since I lay my heavy burdens down. With glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Since I lay my heavy burdens down. Oh, some of you here tonight, you're bowed down. A lot of troubles on your plate. A lot of heartaches in your heart. My God, you just might as well lay them down. Woo! Say glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Woo! Praise God. Aren't you glad you're knowing tonight? I said, aren't you glad you're knowing tonight? Do you still believe in the power of Pentecost? Do you still believe in worshiping God? Do you still believe in having church? Woo! Hallelujah! Well, glory, glory! Oh, hallelujah! Oh, since I lay my burdens down. Well, glory, glory! Oh, hallelujah! Since I lay my heavy burden down. One more time. Well, glory, glory! Oh, hallelujah! Since I lay my heavy burdens down. Well, glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Since I lay my heavy burdens down. Woo. Anybody remember that night you laid down the heavy burden? Huh? Huh? When you laid down the burden of sin, my God felt the peace of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. My God stir you. Woo! Oh, glory. Oh, the greatest day of your life was the day you laid your burden of sin down. Became a child of God. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. Amen. You can be
or to our movement. Praise God. We are pioneering a church. Been there 17 years. A lot of our people that got saved come right off the street or either come from other denominations and knew nothing about holiness. And I just cannot express how much that camp meetings have been a blessing to our church, praise God, and our people, being able to take them around across the country and being in the atmosphere, amen, and seeing the way holiness people have church, praise God. And being around people of like precious faith, what an encouragement that it is. Amen. Loved hearing tonight about these brethren talking about the meeting and how it got started and where the Lord has brought you to in this beautiful tabernacle. We give God the praise for that, don't we? Amen.
Thank the Lord for what he done for us last night and how he moved. I certainly appreciate everyone's response on the altar. And that's what it's all about here tonight, is to have a move of God in this altar. Praise the Lord. Amen. I appreciate the youth service as well. And all the preachers done so wonderful. And especially Brother Ben, some things that he said while he was preaching about being lost in the house. And in that parable of the prodigal son just before that, I'm glad that the Lord said sometimes the shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes searching for that one lost sheep, doesn't he? Amen. And I've tried to teach our people that we need to create such an atmosphere that when the Lord begins to reach out to a lost soul, amen, that the children of God can help bring that soul to God. Amen. And we just don't stop service because the preacher is going to preach to the lost or preach a different way than what we expect him to. But we keep on praying and worshiping and keep an atmosphere for the Lord to move in. Praise God. Amen. Because two of those three parables, Brother Ben, even the woman who lost the coin, it was lost in the house. And he preached to us about the prodigal's brother who was lost in the house. And amen. And I know right here tonight, there's people that's lost in this house. Amen. And I really got a burden here tonight, really to reach out to two type people. One, somebody that's lost here tonight, but then those that the devil is really pulling on you to pull you away from God and away from holiness and away from the things of God. I'd like the Lord to come by and deal with our hearts tonight. Praise God. Wouldn't you like the Lord to save somebody? They're talking about the old-fashioned camp meetings, and when they would wind up in the old-fashioned camp meetings, they usually ended it with a baptism service. Amen. So many people would get saved in the camp meeting. Thank God. And we'd like to see that here this week. Praise God. We appreciate everything as you're turning with us here tonight to the book of Isaiah, chapter 57. First of all, thank you for all you've done for us and all the kindness you've shown to us. We appreciate it so very, very much. We pray the Lord would bless you for all you've done for us. Would you stand tonight as we read our text? We're going to read Isaiah 57, a couple of scriptures, and then I want to turn to the book of Psalm, chapter number 9 tonight. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20 and 21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Psalm chapter number 9 tonight. Psalm 9 and verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. My text here tonight is verse 17. Would you please help me pray before you're seated? I want to preach tonight on turned into hell. Amen. Would you help me pray? Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I know, God, without doubt tonight, that it is the heart of God to reach out to men and women, young people in this service tonight, whose heart may not be sold out to you, those that are lost in this service, those, God, who are only merely religious, I do not have a real experience with God. I pray tonight for the Spirit of the Lord to come into this house in such a way. Let not one individual, Lord, leave this building tonight without knowing God with a perfect assurance in their heart that they have made things right with you. Save the lost, God, the backslider, those, Lord, that hell is pulling upon tonight. We pray, Lord, for the Holy Ghost to arrest them, turn them around, God, and lead them back to you. Lord, I pray not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but we pray for a demonstration of the Holy Ghost that you would confirm your word tonight with signs following. Meet us, God, in this altar. We will praise you and honor you for it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated here tonight. I know that in the true context of this scripture that we have read in the book of Psalm, that it is referring to us about a literal hell. Amen. And we know that throughout the scripture it teaches us that there is a place called hell. In Revelation 21, the Bible teaches us there about the judgment of God, and the dead will stand before God. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. And we have no debate here tonight in this service about the existence of hell. God's word has told us about that, that there is coming a judgment day, there is an eternity, there is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. Isn't that right? Praise God. But I want to preach here a little bit different, a different avenue of this scripture tonight, a different sense, if you will, on this scripture that tells us that the wicked are going to be turned into hell. Amen. You see, Isaiah said that the wicked are like the troubled sea, and their life is always continually casting up the dirt and the mire, and that there is no peace. Almighty God said there is no peace to the wicked. Amen. So I want to preach here tonight that there is a sense to this scripture. We know there is an eternal hell, and in the true context of that scripture, that's what the scripture is talking about. But I want to preach here tonight that those that turn from God and live a life of sin and wickedness, their life is turned into hell right here on earth. Amen. It is turned into a hellish state, if you will. Amen. That word hellish means of, like, or suitable to hell. It means infernal or vile. It means horrible. Amen. And when people turn away from God and turn into a life of sin, then there may be people here tonight that you're lost. You're away from God and you're in sin. And you know that if you were to stand before God today, that would be your eternal destination, would be an eternal hell. But I want to preach to you here tonight, and especially to this young generation, those of you that the world and sin is pulling on your heart, and you feel like that one day you may get out of church and live your own life and go the direction you want to go. I want to preach to you that in this world, in this life, the life of the wicked is often turned into a hellish condition. Amen. It is often turned into a situation, amen, that is a terrible, amen, existence to live. Have you thought about what the things that are happening in our world, in America today? Has it ever popped into your mind what is going on in America? Amen. When you hear of some of the tragedies and some of the deeds that are done by individuals, and you wonder how in the world can America reach the point that it is reaching. Amen. How can it reach the place that it's in? Just maybe a year or so ago, you remember when Sandy Hook Elementary, when that shooting took place, and those 20 young little sixth graders were brutally murdered. How many of y'all remember when that took place? When that happened, and I heard the news on the radio of what took place, immediately this scripture and psalm is what came to my mind and to my heart. Every nation that forgets God is going to be turned into hell. Amen. And really what we're seeing, my friend, before our eyes, is we're seeing the country that we love. We're seeing the nation that we love so dear, that many of us have loved ones that paid the ultimate price on a foreign battlefield and gave and sacrificed their life that we could have freedom and liberty that we have as Americans. And we're seeing it being destroyed before our very eyes. Amen. And sometimes we question, why is our country in the shape and condition that it's in? How is it that we hear so many things happening in the country that we live in today? The past year, I read where Planned Parenthood, they boasted of breaking their record of 340,000 abortions in 1 year. They killed 340,000 innocent children in the womb. And in a 3-year total, it was over 1 million children. I'm not talking about in a heathen nation somewhere, but right here in the United States of America. And we wonder how it could take place in a land that was founded on the Bible, in a land that was founded on Christianity, how it could be the senseless murder of our innocent children. Amen. We hear these stories of these brutal murders and vicious acts taking place throughout our land. And we wonder, how is it that America is reaching this place? Near us, there was a man named Micah Harrison who stabbed his little 2-year-old old boy in the chest with a knife and then stabbed him in the head with a nail puller. Amen. A very blunt object that used to pull nails. Amen. And when you hear things like that, amen, God, what is happening in this nation? Amen. What is taking place around this country? 15-year-old Nehemiah Greco, I read about him a year ago, who killed his mother and his father. He shot his brother, who was 9 years old, his sister, who was 5 years old, and his baby sister, who was 2 years old. Amen. Killed his whole family. 15-year-old boy killed his whole family. Took a picture of his dead mother's body and texted that picture to his girlfriend. And then they went out together that evening before the authority caught up with him. No remorse, no sadness, no regret. Amen. But I read in that article where that young man was heavy into video games, especially a video game called Mortal Kombat. Amen. Some of you boys ever heard of that video game? I hope you've never played it. Amen. I hope you don't have anything to do with it. But that young man, amen, became so possessed with a spirit of murder. Amen. Right here in our country. Amen. Right here in the land. Amen. Of the Bible, if you will. Oh God. Amen. We see these things and we wonder, amen, how it is we could get to this place. Amen. I'll tell you a few reasons why. We live in a country today we know that was founded by men seeking to be able to serve God. But it's not that way. It's not run by that type of people anymore. Amen. And when our president was inaugurated in this second term, it was the first time that a president of the United States had ever had anyone beside a preacher pray at his inauguration. They had intended for a pastor out of Atlanta, Georgia, was going to come to the inauguration and pray. But when they searched back in his history and found in the early 90s he preached against homosexuality, amen, then he was pressured out and was not allowed to pray. And so he had a woman pray who was the wife of a civil rights hero, and she prayed at President Obama's inauguration, the first time in our history, amen, that a preacher did not pray over our president. Amen. In a Pew Forum that I read about on religion and public life, that Pew Forum found out that 20% of Americans now have no formal religious tie. That's 1 in 5 Americans, amen, have no type of religion whatsoever. They claim absolutely nothing. In that Pew Forum, they found out only 48% of Americans identify themselves as Protestant. That's the lowest rate that there's ever been. We are no longer a majority Protestant nation, amen. In 2009, Obama was the first to recognize secular Americans when he said this in a speech. We are, and I quote, "We are a nation of Christians and Muslims, Jews and Hindus, and non-believers." Amen. He's the first president to promote gay marriage. He's the first president to promote infanticide, which is the killing of children outside of the womb up until the age of 3 years old. Amen. He's the first president to choose Islam over Christianity. Amen. Are you hearing me here tonight? Amen. These are just a few of the reasons why the country is in the shape it's in. Because when a nation forgets about God, when a nation turns away from Christianity, when a nation forgets about who made us great, that nation will be turned into a hellish society. Amen. The sad thing about it, brother and sister, amen, I don't know, brother, I'm going to turn these back to me just a little bit if I can. Amen. But the sad thing about it is you and I, as Americans, we have never known what it is to live in a society without God. Amen. We've always been a blessed nation, haven't we? We've always been a country that when September 11th happened, amen, there was no Democrat or Republican in the Congress that day. But they stood upon the steps of the Capitol, amen, and they prayed together. Amen. There was something in their past that they remembered. God is what made us great. Amen. And we must turn to Him in a time of trouble. But I'm afraid today that if we were attacked again, amen, it wouldn't be the same way. There's so many people that have gotten
gotten into position in this nation, amen, that hates God, and especially the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And this country is being turned into a hellish place. Amen. Stay with me here if you will. Amen. The only time in our history that we really had a society and saw what other countries have saw is during the Civil War, when over 600,000 of our own people were killed beside civilians. And the havoc of war was in our country. Amen. But that was mostly limited, a lot of it, to the battlefield. And that is so far removed from us. This young generation knows nothing of World War I or II, and what this country even suffered through that time, or even Vietnam. Amen. We got a generation today, amen, that just live easy come, easy go. And I'd really be afraid to go to war right now with a bunch of limp-wristed young men that we got today. Amen. They won't even work a job, much less picked up a rifle to go fight on some foreign soil. Come on here now. My God, America is in trouble. Can you say amen? Now, when we look in history, we don't really understand it ourselves. But if you look at some other nations that one time had revival and that one time knew the power of God, then you can see what happens to a country, amen, that gets turned into hell. Amen. Germany is one of the greatest examples of that. For Germany, there was a mighty revival that came. It is the cradle of the Protestant church. Amen. And there for a long time, amen, Germany had revival that broke out in the land of Germany. But really, when you look into history, Germany's getting away from God, and their rebelling and losing God was the whole cause for World War I and World War II. It was a nation that forgot about God. It was a nation that left their morals, amen. And therefore, the whole world was flung into war because of a country, amen, that lost the presence of God in their life, amen. It came to an head during the leadership of Adolf Hitler, just before World War II and during the war. Amen. When German society turned into a hellish place. Amen. That during that time when Adolf Hitler was in power, some of you young folk, amen, you really need to get your history books out, true history books, not those that have been corrupted, amen, by the modern liberals, amen, but look at true history and see what happens to a nation and to a people. Some of these blessed elders here, amen, they're going to be going on to glory, and they may never see what some of you and I young people are going to see, amen, but in Germany, and Adolf Hitler's final solution to take care of the Jews and the lesser of humanity, what he considered the lower races of people. Amen. He began to annihilate them and to destroy them. And all of the German society fell in with him. Amen. They became so bound by murder, so bound by a cycle of viciousness that they could take little Jewish babies and throw them in the air and use them for target practice. Amen. Hitler started out in a subtle ways by getting rid of the elderly and the mentally impaired and the handicapped. And really the gas chamber, that's where it got started. They wanted to get rid of those who their minds were not as good as Hitler thought. And so they developed the gas chamber and to keep people from being so upset when they were taken them in to murder them. They set it up as a shower room, and they make fake shower heads around the wall, and they put up signs that said, don't forget your towel and don't forget your soap. And so they brought them into these chambers, and there they would shoot gas, cyanide gas, into those chambers, and those poor people would writhe in agony and pain and suffer, amen, in a horrible, horrible death, amen. Amen. Hitler began as the war progressed. Amen. As he wanted to get rid of the chosen people of God. Now, I don't know if you really understand it here tonight, but you are hated, amen, by this world, and you are hated by this government, and you are hated by Islam. Amen. Every one of them have purposed in their heart to destroy you as a child of God. Amen. Hitler at Auschwitz is one of the concentration camps that Hitler developed. There he had, I think, 3 gas chambers that would hold 2,000 people at a time. Amen. They would take those poor people and put them in cattle trains. Stuff them in those trains so tightly together that when they would die en route to the concentration camps, they could not even fall down. For days without water, days without food, could not go to the restroom. Amen. They suffered on that journey only to get to concentration camps. Had them be hustled into shower rooms. Amen. And take their clothes taken away from them. Amen. Such degradation, their dignity. Amen. Their families torn apart. Children taken away from their mamas. Amen. If they were weak and sickly, they were just killed automatically. Amen. Just shot and put in a mass grave. Some of them that made it a little longer eventually wound up in those shower rooms. 2,000 at a time. Amen. Where cyanide gas pumped into those rooms. And they said it took from 3 to 15 minutes for those poor people to die. And they knew the last one was dead when the screaming stopped. Amen. I'm talking about a people that one time had revival and one time knew God. Amen. In just a month and a half period of time, amen, in Auschwitz, there were over 250,000 Jews put to death, pushed, shoved into the ovens, and their bodies were burned. Amen. At Buchenwald camp, it was a work camp. They didn't have gas chambers there, but they worked them literally to death. Over 80,000 prisoners could fit in there at one time. The life expectancy was only 3 months. So every 3 months, they were killing, working to death over 80,000 innocent people. Amen. And at Buchenwald, amen, they became so hard against God in their soul and in their spirit that they would perform human experiments on those poor people. Live operations without any anesthesia. Amen. Bizarre tests. Amen. Against human pain and suffering. They would inflict them with diseases and watch them suffer until they died. They would dismember their bodies and use the parts of their bodies in experiments. People holy, amen, unconscious, without a conscience at all, amen, without any regard to life, without any regard to death. And some of you may think it'll never happen in this country, it'll never take place in America, but my friend, I'm sorry to say, amen, and if America doesn't turn back to God quickly, amen, we're headed for that and even worse. Amen. The wife of the commandant of Buchenwald, her name was Ilse Koch. And she had a dog that she would walk around the camp when the prisoners came in. And she would target those women who were expecting with child. And when she found one, she would unleash her mad, wild dog against that woman and laugh as that dog would tear that woman in shreds and pieces. Amen. She was so wicked that she had several Jewish men's heads severed and shrunk down to the size of a grapefruit. And they were put in her dining room where she ate with her children. Amen. She and some of the other women, the officers' wives, they would call a special roll call. And as they walked through the roll call, they would pick out those Jewish men that they thought were the best looking. They would take them off to another special part of the camp where they would then kill them. And they would skin them. And their skin was tanned and just like you do leather. And they made it into purses and lampshades and pocketbooks. And it was traded among the Nazi elite just like fine leather products. Amen. I'm telling you what happens to people. Amen. What happens to people when they get away from God? When a society forgets about the God that saved them. Amen. They turn into a hellish state. It didn't just happen in Germany, but it happened in Russia under Stalin. Stalin murdered over 60 million of his own people. Hitler only murdered 6 million, but Stalin was 60 million. Amen. It happened in Rome under Nero. It happened in England under Bloody Mary. It happened in Cambodia under Pol Pot. East Africa under Idi Amin. And it's taking place in many countries around this world today. And we are seeing the very beginnings of it right here in this nation and in this country. It is no coincidence when you read your paper and when you hear the news on the radio, it is a product of a nation that's turning away from God. It is a product of a people that has lost their convictions, that has lost their morals, that has lost what the Bible teaches. Can you say amen? In Romans chapter number 1, you find the progression there of a people who have turned away from their God. Amen. In the beginning, amen, the Apostle Paul said it was a people that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Amen. They turned away from the Lord, became vain in their foolish imaginations. Their hearts were darkened. Amen. And I want you to notice right here what God did. Whenever the people moved away from God, then God began to move. Amen. And the first thing that God did was God took away the restraints and gave them up to their ungodly affections and lust. Amen. Amen. They began to commit fornication and began to commit adultery one with another. I want to tell somebody in this house tonight, as I was praying, I want to warn somebody right here tonight. Adultery and fornication is not a pleasurable game. Amen. Adultery and fornication is a judgment from Almighty God. I said it is a judgment from Almighty God. Amen. For the Bible said God gave them up unto those affections, and he that committeth adultery lacketh understanding and destroyeth his own soul. Amen. And when you commit fornication and adultery, you're not having fun. You're not playing a game. Amen. You are destroying your soul. You are destroying your mind. You are destroying your body. Amen. Job said it would root out all of my increase. Amen. It'll take away everything that God has ever given me. And some of you young people here, amen, if you're panting and hugging, amen, you're kissing, amen, and you're committing fornication, I want you to understand God, amen, you're going to be turned into hell one day. Amen. So I was out there in Brother Savage's church this evening praying. I felt the burden come on my heart for some folk right here. You young girls know how many young girls, other young ladies whose lives has been turned into hell because they wouldn't tell that boy no. Amen. They let that boy hug, kiss. Amen. I don't know how you all preach it up here. Amen. But I preach in my church. It's only legal whenever you say I do. Praise God. Amen. The Bible said it's good for a man not to touch a woman. And the last time I understood, holding hands is touching. Hugging is touching. Amen. Putting lips to lips is touching. Praise God. And that very word there means to ignite a passion and ignite a fire. And boy, if you can hold a girl's hand and you can hug her and kiss her and not lust in your heart, something's wrong with you. Amen. I said, something's wrong with you. Either you're lying, amen, or you're a little on the funny side. Come on here. Because that's the way God, amen, God made it to happen. Amen. But I want some of you to realize here tonight, it's not a game. Amen. When you get in a dark corner somewhere, you get in the back seat of a car somewhere, amen, your life will be turned into hell. Amen. You young girls will suffer the most. That young boy will go on his way. That young boy will go somewhere down the road and find him another victim. Amen. And you will be left the rest of your life to live in a hellish state. Amen. When you get hooked up with that young man or young woman, amen, that's not really sold out to God and serving the Lord, and you get married, amen, and in a little while they find out they don't like you as much as they thought they did, and they go divorce you and find somebody else, your life will be turned into a hellish state. Amen. Oh, brother, it's hard to live by yourself. Come on here. I said, it's tough to live by yourself and raise up a family. Oh, God, I'm trying to help some young girl right here today. And then realize what the devil's trying to do in your life. If he don't love you enough to respect you and your purity, you better get rid of him. If he don't love you enough, and when you say no, amen, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. Amen, you're in trouble and on your way to a hellish condition. Amen. Oh, God. It's too late. When they come up and say, Mom, I'm expecting with a child. It's too late then. And some of you mamas and daddies say, I don't want that preacher to tell me anything about my children. Amen. When we preach, you have to have a chaperone. And we preach, you don't let them go off by themselves. And you get mad at the preacher. And you say, you ain't telling me how to raise my children. You're not going to tell me you're gonna come to the preacher one day. And your lives are going to be falling apart. And your children's going to be in trouble. And you're going to be weeping and crying. And say, preacher, would you help me? Preacher, my family's falling apart. You should listen to God right now. I said, you should listen to God right now. Amen. And do it right. It's a whole lot easier to build a fence at the top of the cliff than to build a hospital down at the bottom after they fell off the cliff and their lives are twisted and broken apart. Amen. You need to love yourself enough and love your God enough to keep yourselves pure. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God gave them up to those affections. God took away the restraints. And it's a fearful thing when I can do it and not feel bad about it. It's a fearful thing when my conscience doesn't bother me anymore. Amen. And I can go against what my parents teach and my pastor teaches. I can go against what the Word of God teaches and come to church and just act like nothing happened and just keep on shouting and keep on speaking in tongues. When I first met my wife in the Assemblies of God, I was backslid for several years. And when I started dating my wife, there was a group of young people at that church. I'm telling you what's the truth. Every service after church, they'd go down to McDonald's or wherever, but every one of them would wind up in a different car, in a different spot, kissing a different boy, sitting in a different boy's lap. Amen. Yes, they did. Amen. I thank God that I come out of that worldly movement into a movement that would teach us the truth of God. Amen. Praise God. That would help our young people. For God gave them up. And whenever that didn't satisfy them and it didn't turn back to God, amen, God's desire was that they could see how vile and wicked it was, how sinful, and they would turn back to God. But instead, they kept on going deeper. And so God gave them up to vile affections, gave them up to homosexuality. Amen. Where men burning their lust for men and women for women, that which is unseemly, amen, and receive the error of their recompense. Amen. Oh, yes, you wonder why we've got how many, 7 or 8 states now that are ordaining homosexual marriage. You wonder why we got a president today. Amen. Because God is turning this nation over to vile affections. Amen. I said the vile affections. And there's some of you in your lifetime would never thought you'd have saw a day, amen, when you walk in Walmart, as I did a few weeks ago, and saw two men kissing, amen, there in the produce section, and people walking by just like nothing had happened. Amen. So accustomed to it, so used to it, because it's all that the world promotes, amen, is homosexuality. But we got to realize that's God, amen, turning us over unto our vile affections. Amen. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, he gave them over to a reprobate mind, void of conscience. Amen. Seared with a hot iron. No conviction. Amen. To do those things. Amen. And I want to read to you what this is the end of somebody's life. Amen. Who gets away from God and their life is turned into hell. Amen. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled. Their life is filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they know better than what they're doing, but they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You listen to me, if you keep going the way you're going, there'll be a time you'll mock holiness. There'll be a time you'll mock the holiness preacher. There'll be a time you can come to church and you can sit like you are right now and the preacher will preach to you and you will never come to an altar and pray. Amen. You'll be able to endure it. Amen. And put your mind somewhere else and walk out the church the same way you came, because you'll be void of conscience. You'll be void of Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. You'll be a reprobate before God. Amen. He'll turn your mind and heart over. But it's a fearful thing if you're in this building tonight and you are lost and you leave lost. Brother, that is a fearful thing. If you're in this service tonight and you're wrapped up in some kind of sin and you leave without getting it under the blood, that's a fearful thing. How close are you, amen, to being turned over to a reprobate mind? Amen. And you can just push off the Holy Ghost. Just push it aside. Not pray about it. I'll just go back to church the next service and God will deal with me. This is the second thing God dealt with me about today. There is a time that God deals with people. There is an opportunity. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. There is an appearance that comes. Amen. But you don't always have a chance and an opportunity. Look at me in this building tonight, you young folk. Amen. You may never come back to church and feel what you feel tonight. There is no promise that you'll even make it back to church, or that if you do, that the preacher will preach to you and that God will convict your heart. Amen. Because what the Lord said, no man can come to the Father but by me. And he said, no man can come to my Father except he draw him. There's got to be a drawing. There's got to be a conviction. Amen. There's got to be a wooing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now listen to me. I don't know. Amen. Some of these brethren may can tell me different. But when Jesus was casting the devil out that day, and they said, you're casting out the devil by Beelzebub, amen, the prince of devils, and Jesus said, you can speak against the Father, you can speak against the Son, but if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you can't get forgiveness in this life nor in the life to come. Amen. Sometimes, yes, that may be making fun of God. I don't know all of it, but I do know this: they were attributing the work of the Holy Ghost to something else. Amen. They were attributing the work of the Holy Ghost and they were pushing it away, and they were saying, that's not God. Amen. That's the devil. That's something else. I'm going to tell you, you get real close, amen, to the only avenue you have to God, which is Holy Ghost conviction. When it falls on your life and it falls on your heart and you push it aside and you say, that's just the preacher. Amen. That's just the singer. Amen. That's just them trying to get me to come to the altar. You are very close, amen, to getting rid of the only hope that you'll ever have of being saved, and that's Holy Ghost conviction. I beg you, don't push it off. I beg you, don't turn it away, or you might be turning to hell one day. Amen. A young girl got saved in my church, a young teenage girl. Best young person I had. Her daddy was in prison for drugs. Her mama was a drug addict. But she would go home. And her daddy, when he got out of prison, she'd gotten saved, been in church a couple of years. And her daddy said, I won't ever hear you praying in my home. So she would close her bedroom door and turn her radio on. Amen. Under the sound of the music, and that's how she prayed. She lived for God 4 years, done great, serving the Lord under the worst conditions possible. But as she got in those older teenage years, hell started pulling on her. The devil started pulling on her. She was constantly around drugs and alcohol and partying, friends coming over. Amen. We kept her away from as much as we possibly could as a pastor. We went to every limit we could to try to help her. Amen. But she stayed and lived around it so much it pulled on her. And I told her,
I said, Sarah, if you get out of church, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get on drugs. Amen. This is what's going to happen. Amen. You're going to become a harlot. And this is what's going to happen. You're going to go with all types of men you said you'd never go with. And she said, Brother Rusty, I promise you I'll never go that far. I promise you I'll never get that far. Brother Johnny, I knew she was getting out. I knew she wasn't praying like she used to pray and wasn't dedicated like she used to. Amen. And oh, all of a sudden she got to dating a preacher boy. Amen. That preacher boy had wrong intentions. Amen. And that preacher boy and her committed fornication. Amen. And that was a door that opened her up to a lifestyle of hell. Amen. As she got out of the house of God, everything that I told her come to pass. She became a drug addict. She became a harlot. She went down. And oh, this is such a tragedy. There's a place that we're surrounded by crackvilles in our church. Now it's going to crystal meth, but there's three areas around us where they sell crack cocaine. And in one of those areas, amen, it's a neighborhood. And they've got an old guinea pen where they used to keep guineas. And they'll take some of those young ladies that have become crack addicts and they will put them in that pen. And their men in that community, they'll put them in that pen without any clothing on. And men in that community will come around and abuse those girls because there's nobody to rescue them. Nobody even knows they're down there. Nobody, their parents don't know where they're at. They haven't heard of them in weeks. Amen. Some of them in years. Amen. I've got a cousin of mine. I preached her funeral 2 years after she died when they finally found her remains. Amen. After the crack dealers got through with her and killed her. Amen. And buried her in the woods. I preached her funeral. But this young girl found herself in that guinea pen. At one time was in the house of God. Amen. Serving God. Shouting the victory. Amen. But the devil pulled her out. And her life was turned into a hellish state. She'll call sometimes and we'll pray with her. She's come back to church countless times. But she can't ever break free. She can't ever break loose. She's bound by the powers of the enemy. And the devil would love to do that to some of you young people right here tonight. Amen. Just turn your good life into a hellish state. Amen. Just like that prodigal son, Brother Ben, who went down and wasted all and found himself in a hog pen and eating the slop. Amen. He said, oh God, what am I doing here? I need to go back home. And I like what Brother Ben said. It'd be a whole lot better if you stay at home and never know about the world and never get into sin and know what the devil's got planned for your life. I looked out here tonight as these brethren up here singing, people were worshiping. I saw a lot of you that what was happening up here did not connect with you. You had no connection with the Holy Ghost that was moving. You had no connection with the Spirit of God that was working. You come to church, but you're not right with God. You come to church, but you're not really saved. Amen. There's nothing inside of you that makes you want to worship God. And brother, when he saves you, he pulls you up out of that horrible pit. And he puts a song in your heart, even praise unto our God. And when you're saved, you don't have to be told to worship God. And when the Holy Ghost gets to moving, amen, the Spirit is going to cry, Abba, Father, in your heart. And it's going to resonate. I don't know how many right here tonight is not saved, but there's a number of people in this building tonight. There's a number of you young people right here, amen, that are not saved. Amen, you may have on the holiness apparel, amen, but you're not saved. I don't know if you ever heard Mark Sims story or not. Mark Sims is Brother W.D. King's nephew, his sister's boy. And Brother King was in revival with us when he got the phone call that Mark had 16 years old, fell on his shotgun and shot himself in the face. And they were not expecting him to live. When Brother King left and got there, he told me later, the doctor said, there's absolutely nothing we can do. We're cleaning it up as best we can, but there's no way he's going to live. Amen, he's going to die. Now, Mark was a preacher's boy, and Mark was a musician on the platform.
And Brother King, I was at camp meeting one year, and Brother King, amen, after that happened, he said, oh, if Mark would have died, I'd have stood up here and said, we know where Mark is today. We know that Mark is in heaven. But when Brother King stopped, Mark said, can I say something? And Mark Sims got up, and he said, I know everybody thought I was saved. Amen. God gave him a wonderful miracle. Amen. Healed his body. And he's pastoring a church today. But this is what Mark said. Everybody thought I was saved. I was on the platform playing instruments. But if I'd have died that day, I would have went to hell. My heart was not right with God. Tears began to flow down Brother King's face because everybody thought that Mark Sims was saved. But Mark knew down in his heart, just like some of you know right now, your heart is beating in your chest and the Holy Ghost is dealing with you tonight. Amen. And you know, amen, without a doubt, you're not right with God. Amen. I said, you know, you're not right with God, and you need to get there before you get turned over to hell tonight. Amen. Jonah ran from God. And when he ran from God, he went down into the ship, down to Tarshish, down into the ship, down into the water, down in the belly of the whale, all the way to the bottom. And this is what he said. He said, out of the belly of hell cried I. His life, the weeds wrapped around him, the bars of the sea, his life had turned into a hellish state. Amen. A prophet, a man of God, but when he went away from God, he was turned into hell. I cannot imagine anything any worse tonight than to think of some of these young people right here, their life becoming a hellish condition. My heart broke. I never heard Brother Ben's story. Where's Brother Ben? I never heard about that. His daddy. And I asked him after he got through preaching, I said, how old were you when your daddy got out? And he said he wasn't even born when his daddy left. Is your daddy saved? I asked him. He said, no, sir. The way I heard him preach one time, he had a walk with God. But now his life has turned into a hellish condition. Ben said, he called him and said, Daddy, I'm going to preach my first message. What was you, 9 years old? Didn't even want to go hear his boy preach at nine. I got two brothers that's raised up in the same church. And as he said, heard the same singing, heard the same preaching. Both of them are on crack and crystal meth. One of them's in the penitentiary facing 20 years for manufacturing crystal meth. The other one is living on an old shrimp boat, lost his family, has nothing left. Can't even come up with enough money to go out and try to make a living for himself. Went to visit him the other day, him and four or five more drug addicts on his boat, passed out in the bunks, turned into hell. Had a praying mama. Praying grandma. We used to get whippings for cutting up in the house of God together. He saw every miracle I ever saw. But now his life is turned into hell. You feel the Lord dealing with you tonight? There's some of you been around church long enough. You know God's dealing with you. But you also know how to turn it off. You know how to push it aside. You know if you wait long enough, you've already done it, the preacher's going to give up. You wait long enough, they're going to quit singing, and they're going to shut the lights out, and you'll get to go home. Somebody get us a song here, if you will. Patsy Cline was a singer. Some of you older people remember Patsy Cline. I heard Brother Barnett tell about this story, and he can be found on Jimmy Swaggart's Ring of Fire message, I believe. But Patsy Cline was in an automobile wreck. Both of them, the automobile, the passengers were taken to the hospital. The Assembly of God pastor over that other family that was in the other automobile. He came to see his church folk, and they said, the woman that was in the opposite vehicles is just around the hall. Would you go and see her? So that preacher went and saw
Patsy Cline got saved, and that preacher testified of her witness that God had saved her. But about that time, her song hit number one. I believe it was I Go Walking After Midnight. And they took her around in a wheelchair around the country. She made her choice not to stay in church, but to follow after the fame and fortune. Jerry Lee Lewis, which was Jimmy Swaggart's first cousin, told this part of the story. That after her concert, she'd always sing a gospel song at the end. This particular night, she sang that song on life's railway to heaven. Life is like a mountain railway. And she did. The Holy Ghost came on her. She ran off the stage with tears in her eyes. Jerry Lee Lewis said he went to her dressing room. He knew what was happening because he was a backslider too. And he said, I wanted to tell her, pray, Patsy, pray. That's the Holy Ghost. But I couldn't because I was backslid. And he watched her as she wept and cried and reached over on the dresser and took a glass of whiskey. And when she took that glass of whiskey, the conviction was gone. And that night, she tried to persuade Jerry Lee to fly with her back to Nashville, I suppose. Her and Hawkshaw Hawkins, Cowboy Copas, two more singers, boarded an airplane that crashed that night. And Patsy Cline went to hell. That was her last opportunity. And the Lord dealt with me today to tell somebody, you have no promise of tomorrow. I cannot promise you at 6:30 you'll be back in youth service and hear these young men of God pour their heart out to you like they did tonight, to keep that robe white and to stay in the house of God and to pick up a mantle. Amen. But you have a chance right now. You have an opportunity right now. And it's your choice tonight, heaven or hell, life or death. It's your choice. Stand with me and your heads bowed. Please, nobody go to the restroom. The wicked shall be turned into hell. The wicked are like the troubled sea. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. God said he's going to make sure that there's no peace in your life. Your life will be troubled, heartaches, sorrows. I know the devil makes you think that you're different than everybody else. I know the devil makes you believe you can handle what other people could not handle. I don't have time to tell the multitude of stories of individuals who felt that way, only to have their life turned into hell. And when they close their eyes in death, be turned into a literal hell. Jonah cried out to God. He said, Lord, out of the belly of hell cried I. And there may be somebody right here, you say, preacher, that is my life already. Jonah looked unto the temple of the Lord and he cried out, and God brought him out of that belly of hell. And if you will cry out tonight, my friend, the Lord will bring you up too. God will save you. God will change your life. God will turn it around. Everything that's bad and broken, God will fix it. He'll bind up your broken heart. He'll heal the hurts and the wounds in your life. If your life has been turned into hell tonight, he can make it a heavenly place. We can sit together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Praise God. He'll fill you with his joy and his peace and his love. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. And when you die, you'll not go to hell, but you'll go to a place that he's prepared especially for you. A place of no more tears and no more sorrow, no more death, no more devil. Praise God. If you're lost tonight, he wants to save you. And these altars are open, especially for young men and young women right here tonight. The Lord's are dealing with you. Why don't you come? Come right now in the name of Jesus. Come. If you feel the Holy Ghost dealing with you, if there's a question about your salvation tonight, if there's something you need to pray about, step out right now. Come. Come on. Come on. Thank God for these. Come on. It doesn't matter to me who you are. Amen. It doesn't matter to me. Let me tell you one more thing. My wife has always been one that the least little nudge, she'll go to the altar. And I saw one time we were at camp meeting and the Lord was moving and they had preached to the lost. And my wife was one of the first ones at the altar. And a preacher boy sitting beside me nudged me like, "What is your wife doing?" And I told him I'd rather go to the altar every time she wants to than something happened in her life. Listen to me, it wasn't long till his wife committed adultery, left him. He's out of the ministry. He's remarried now. His children died. His little girl died tragically. I'd rather ride the altar all the way to heaven. Keep my heart in check with God. Amen. If there's any question right now, and if there's any question in your mind, you need to be moving right now. I'm amazed that some of you are not moving already. You're pushing off the Holy Ghost. You're pushing off the only avenue you have to be saved. Why don't you come right now? Mom and Daddy, there's some of you here that's not right with God. What's people going to think? What does it matter? What are they going to think when you get out of church? What are they going to think when you're divorced? What are they going to think? Amen. When your life is turned into a hellish condition, right now is the time to pray. Right now is the time to seek after God. Amen. There's more beside these young girls here that need to pray tonight. I got a church that's helping me pray. I got anybody that's concerned about their children and their grandchildren. Amen. Having a real experience with God and the fear of God gripping their heart and their soul tonight. What about it, young man? You get alone with your cell phone. Nobody knows what you're looking at. Nobody knows what you're watching. That doesn't bother you right now. Things you've been looking at in the dark, it doesn't bother you right now. You don't feel the Holy Ghost dealing with you right now. Come on. Move right now. Move. I beg you to move in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank God. Find you a place to pray. Come on, mama, they lift your hands and ask God to help us right now. I feel like there's some that's lingering. As they're playing right now, would you come? These altars should be filled right now. These altars should be filled with mamas and daddies crying out to God for their children, that they would always make the right choices, never be turned into a hellish condition. Come on, let's gather in right now. Let's come to this altar. Don't push off the Holy Ghost. Don't push off the Spirit of God tonight.